We spoke about Hod V'Hadar in the Oved Hashem with regard to Karan Or Panov of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we said that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, is Kofef himself, he bows himself, that's the Or HaNeshama, and he subjugates himself, accepting as it were the will of God, and that expresses itself in the Karan Or Panov. We spoke about Hod V'Hadar in the Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we spoke about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is Machriya his Das Bifnei HaSanhedrin, and that itself will add Kavod to Hashem in this world. We spoke about Hod V'Hadar Shel Torah in the relationship between Torah and Derech Eretz. And finally, let's speak about Hod V'Hadar in the Midos of Knesset Yisrael. And we start with a pasuk in Zechariah. And this is a pasuk that we read in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah. V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem. What does this nevuah, v'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem, have to do with the Haftorah of Chanukah? Why was it specifically chosen for Chanukah? But rather, we're taking a look here at the Ritzifus concept that we spoke about, the connection, the continuity of Hod V'Hadar, specifically with regard to the Midos of Knesset Yisrael. And we base ourselves on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Ches Amud Beis, excuse me. The Gemara says, Ein hasfarim nichtovim b'shum loshen ela b'loshen yevonis. And this is based on the pasuk in Bereishis. In Perek Tes, it says, Yaft Elokim liyefes v'yishkon b'olei shem. Yefifuso shel yefes b'olei shem. The beauty of yefes somehow enters into the oil of shame. And this reflects itself, according to Chazal, in the license that we have to translate Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24 holy books of the Tanakh, into Lashon Yevonos. This is the Hod of Knesset Yisrael. It means that here Knesset Yisrael, in a sense, subjugates itself, surrenders itself as it will, like the Kana that's Kofef Bifnei HaRuach, for the translation of its holy Torah into Lashon Yevonos. This is the bending and the bowing of the stature of Knesset Yisrael in front of the Koma, the standing of Yavan. But we always speak about Hod and Hadar. So on the one hand, this is called Hod. But when we speak about Kedusha, Hod reflects itself in Hadar, in the unification or the integration of the two. In the Haftorah of Chanukah, the Nevuah of Zechariah comes to explain, to demonstrate, that the Hod, the Hiskofufus, in the presence of Yavan, as it expresses itself in the translation of the Torah to Yavanis, is the Hodah on Ribono Yisrael. This itself acknowledges the dominion. Kibedavka, he says, Bekocha shel skofuzu gonuzu kocha shel knesset shel lahavli dea matzav shel v'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem. Meaning that as a result of this expansion of Torah, in which the Torah becomes accessible to the non-Jews, and specifically to the Greeks in this case, and we know that Chochmas Yavan is the father, if you will, the paradigm of all Chochmos, of all the nations of the world, is somehow V'nilvu, the Goyim, will be drawn into the Hashem, the God of Knesset Yisrael. And that's the Hadar of this experience. Now, if this be the case, then we can begin to understand that this Ritzifus, this connection of Hod and Hadar, in the four different areas and arenas that we discussed in Kedusha, we began to understand the fear and the danger of setting up Hod as an independent midah disconnected from Hadar. The chatzitza, the wedge, and it's a very subtle wedge that is pushed in between Hod and Hadar, will set up Hod in its loneliness. And what does this mean? Midas Hod bibdidusa. When the mid of Hod is bibdidusa, when it's alone, disconnected from Hadar, it's a kfisa, it's a kfifas koma, it's the bending and the bowing in front of the antithesis of Knesset Yisrael. And that's going to, unfortunately, set up a nefila. It's a hechsher for nefila, meaning now Knesset Yisrael will not only bow, but they will fall. Because without the hod v'hadar, without the hadar, which is going to demonstrate the hod, in which the kana, as it were, even though it bows in front of the wind, it stands, the standing of Klal Yisrael in Hadar has to be achieved, has to be clinched. And we have to begin to appreciate the beauty of Knesset Yisrael in relationship to Yavon and its supremacy to Yavon. That's going to be the Hadar. So the battle and the success, the triumph over Yavon, is going to come through this Hodah, in which there'll be an admission or an acknowledgement of the supremacy of Klal Yisrael. We're not trying to destroy Yavon. We don't have a mitzvah of destroying Yavon like we do with regard to Amalek. So then the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Yavon is really tied to this ema of the fear lest there be a wedge, a chatzitza between the Hod v'Hadar. And that's going to undermine the success and the triumph of Knesset Yisrael over Yavon. This is going to be the key to unlock the mystery of Nevuas Daniel with regard to Golos Yavon. We saw in Sefer Daniel that he considers Yavon to be the mashchis of the mid of Hod. Mitoch nevuazu anu lemedim ki ha'omek ha'miyuchad shel golos Yavon, the depth and the profundity of the exile of Yavon, who besod pizur ha'hod min ha'hadar, by disconnecting Hod from Hadar. It means that the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Yavon, which was so dangerous because of the possibility of Hod being disconnected from Hadar. And if you want to give one concrete example of this disconnection, you'll find this in the phenomenon of the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim means a Hod that never converted itself, or what should we say, that never reached its fruition in Hadar. It remained Hod. It remained Hiskofufus. And these Jews accepted upon themselves the Hellenistic culture of Yavon. And this is what Daniel says when he foresees, when he first of all perceives the vision of the Tsar of Yavon subjugating Klal Yisrael. Hodi nepach alay lamashchis. Hod, which is, as we said, the beauty of flexibility, of being flexible and pliant and bowing and willing to accept some greater sovereign ruler and subject oneself, which is Hod, but Hod needs the light of Hadar. That's nefach alay l'mashchis. The Hod becomes a mashchis. And therefore the celebration of the redemption of from Yavon means reconnecting the beauty of Hod to Hadar. And a hadr, as we said over and over again, clarifies and sheds light retroactively on the hod and the power of the hodah that's inherent in hod. And now we understand why in the vision and the prophecy of Daniel, the Chashmonaim are called Hadar. The success and the triumph of the Chashmonaim, the great miracle and redemption of Hanukkah, Ma'avir Noges Hadar Malchus, to remove the Noges, to remove the oppression of Yavan, means to return Hadar it back into its place, back into its normal natural role as the Gilui Lamafreya of Hadar, of Hod. And therefore we have to understand that when a person uses his power, he's a great person, to get involved in things which are, let's say, lower than his level, Dvarim Ketanim, that power emanates and is rooted in the Mid of Hod, which is the greatness of Hod. And even when there's a relationship between Gadlus and Katnus, that in a sense is the fertile ground that gives birth to the Midos of Hod and Hadar. When Gadlus is willing to depend upon Ketanim, to rely on Ketanim, that becomes the Yofi of this Koach Hodah of Gadlus. And it may look on the outside like his Kofafus of the Gadol in front of the Katan, but this is part of the Mahalach of Kedusha of Hod and Hadar, which, if contiguous and with a Ritzufis one to the other, we realize we merit through that smichus in which Hod becomes Hadar. This Kofus b'fnei Ketanim is transformed into the actual dominion over the Katnus. And that's the Hispashtus or Gadlus. That's when the or of Gadlus, even though in stage one it subjects itself to the Ketanim, almost succumbing and bowing in front of the Ketanim, but when does the aura of Gadlus become intensified? That's when at the end, from Hod to Hadar, there is a revelation of the Gadlus over the Katnus. And seen over and over again in all the different arenas of the Ovid Hashem, of Torah itself, of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch, of Knesset Yisrael, how Gadlus has to take a step back to Katnus, but all that is meant to lead to a dominion of Gadlus over Katnus, but there's no way, no how that you can skip over that step of Katnus, and therefore it's impossible to avoid to be constantly in a state of Aliyah without going down in order to go up, the Yeridah L'tzarech Aliyah. And therefore, the only way of a constant Aliyah is by the integration of Hod V'Hadar. Through this integration, there's a clarification, there's a revelation, through the Hod of L'mafreya, that the Tnua, the movement of the Hadar is going to be Mavar L'mafreya, the Hod, which was a movement of Hanmacha, in which something great lowers itself to Katnus, but that was all for the purpose of elevating the Gadlus. So we go back to what we discussed at the very beginning of our discussion in the last Shia, that we find in all mitzvahs that there is a hemshech of zman, there is an aliyah, but in Ner Chanukah we find that the mahalich of aliyah, of Maila B'Kodesh, is integral to the very mitzvah itself and the way we fulfill the mitzvah. The brach is always going to be recited on the extra ner. And that represents, symbolically, the entire miracle and freedom from Yavan. The redemption from Yavan, that miracle is to push away, overcome, and vitiate the great danger involved in the mid of Hod, insofar as the mid of Hod is as Kofufus, that if it's not connected to Hadar, it won't be Mavur Lamafrei, as we said before. The family of the Chashmonoim, who became the conduit, the divine conduit for the miracle, they are described by the Navi as Mavir Noges Hadar Malchus. They are going to replace Hadar into its rightful place and function, and the Purkan of the miracle of Chanukah, and in the mitzvah of Chanukah itself, we see this is a mahalach v'aliyah that is integral to the mitzvah. In the very mice of mitzvah, we're going to create an aliyah from one candle, from one night to the next night, more and more candles. We're going to remove the chatzitza between Hod v'Hadar. We're going to replace the Kedusha that's inherent in linking together Hod v'Hadar. And then we're going to reject any hefsek in this Mahalik of Aliyah. It's going to be from day one to day two to day three, one candle, two candles, three candles, most of Ha'olech Ma'alim B'Kodesh. The brach is on the additional Nair. That Aliyah, which represents going down and then going up, in which the final candle is the key candle, the most of Ha'olech candle, because that's the Hadar candle that L'mafreya retroactively clarifies the Hod of going down of the Katnus. There is an inseparable, uninterruptible Aliyah here, and that's exactly what Chanukah, the Nes of Chanukah, is all about. The connection of Hod v'Hadar into one entity, and the Ritzifus, without any hefsek, of Milu B'Kodesh, of adding to the candles, of ultimately achieving Hadar. That's what the Chashmonaim achieved, as the Novi Zecharia says, the Hadar, which reveals the light that's inherent in the Hod. That Hod v'Hadar relationship is the essence of the Purkan of Chanukah. Having finished Maimer Zayin, let's at least introduce Maimer Ches. The introduction to Maimer Ches is a diuk in which we compare the respective nuschos of the Alanisim and the Brice of Mai Chanukah in the Sugya in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. In the Nusach of Alanisim, it says Kavushmonos Yimei Chanukah Elu Lahodos Ulahalol Shimcha Gadol. In other words, the essence of the Kviyas of these days is Lahodos Ulahalol. If you compare that to the Lashon HaBrais of Mai Chanukah, you'll notice that something's missing in Alanisim. In the Lashon HaBrais of Mai Chanukah, we have an additional statement. It says, V'yasa'um Yom Tov Ba'Hal Voda. He doesn't just mention Hal Voda, he mentions that it was that these days was established as a Yontif. Whereas in Alanisim, he skips over the Asum Yontif and he goes straight to Hodos Ulahalel. Rashi says that le'inyan zeshal halel v'oda asom yontif. In other words, that in the brisa of Mai Chanukah, the emphasis on the establishment of these days as days of yontif, le'inyan hal v'oda. In the Madbeah of Alanisim, the concept of describing these days, establishing these days as a yontif, is completely omitted. And furthermore, if you take a look at the Gemara in Erechim, the Gemara says the reason we don't say Hallel, this is in the Sugya Daf Yud Aleph in Erechin, we don't say Hallel on Shabbos is because it's not called a Moed. We don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh is Mutav Asiyas Melacha. And the reason for Hallel on Chanukah, the Gemara finds no justification for Hallel on Chanukah other than Hallel B'Toras Nes. Meaning, the Gemara has to break through here, revolution, that there are two categories and two sources or roots for Hallel, for the Chiyuv Hallel. One is Hallel of a Yontif, and the other is the Hallel of a Nes. In Chanukah, the Hallel is generated not by the Yontif, but by the Hallel of Nes. And that seems to contradict openly the Brisa that says that Chazal were misaking Chanukah as days of Yontif. We can appreciate the omission in the Alanisim of describing these days of Chanukah as Yontif, because there is no Yontif. If there's no Yontif, why is there Hallel? What justifies Hallel is the Nes, but not the status of these days as Yontif. In the case of Shabbos. There was a Havamina that Shabbos has an element of Yontif in it, because it's also Basis Malacha. In the case of Rosh Chodesh, there is no Isur Malacha, and therefore there is no Hallel. There's no such thing as a Yontif without Isur Malacha. That seems to be the final conclusion and the premise of the Gemara in Erechin, and that's why there's no Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. In that sense, to the same extent that Rosh Chodesh, insofar as it's bereft of an Isur Malacha, is not a Yontif, so too Chanukah has no Isur Malacha, it's not a Yontif. And therefore it makes absolute sense, the Nusach, the Madea of Al-Nisim, that says, Kovu Shmonos Yimei Chanukah Elu LaHodos Ula Halel. Our Chiyuv Halel is not a result of Kedushas Azman, it's not a result of Isur Malacha, but it's a result of Ness. Ness engenders a Chiyuv Halel. And therefore it makes absolute sense that the concept of Yontif is omitted in Al-Nisim with regard to Chanukah. But nevertheless, we see in the Brisa of my Chanukah that the Lashon is Asom Yom Tov B'Hallel V'Hodah, as if to say that the Chiyuv Hallel does result of the Yontif. The Yontif engenders and generates the Chiyuv Hallel V'Hodah. That's against the Sugya in Erechim, which says that a Yontif, in order to establish Hallel V'Hodah, has to be a day of Isur Malacha. He writes, "Mikavet shechivro son chacho ba'al vodom mipas hanes sheirubo chiyuv zeshal yotzer hu inyan shel yontif b'chanukah." What you could say, perhaps, b'dochak, is that we start with Hallel, and the Hallel again is engendered by Ness, and that creates a quasi yontif. But again, not to say that yontif, you know, that the language of the Brisa seems to be asom yontif b'hal vodah, as if the yontif engenders a chiyuv hal and odah. That's impossible. It is the chiyuv hal and odah is because of Ness, not because of yontif. So the matbea of Al-Nisim, insofar as it's a kiyum of haskaras me'ein ha'ma'ora b'chol yom v'yom teimlo me'ein b'chosav, we're not dealing with the Guf HaMa'ora, sorry, we're not dealing with anything other than the Guf HaMa'ora, meaning Mein HaMa'ora means that's what we're dealing with, the Guf HaMa'ora, and the Chiyuv Hallel that emanates from the Ma'ora itself, meaning from the Ness itself. We're not describing the day itself, we're describing the Ma'ora, and why the Ma'ora and how the Ma'ora engenders its Chiyuv Hallel Ve'hodah. The answer is, there's no mention of Yontif. It doesn't belong to Al-Nisim. In the case of the Brisa, somehow the Brisa has a different understanding that the nature of the day of Chanukah is a Yontif, and that's what engenders Hallel Vodah. Again, we don't know how to reconcile that with the Sugyan Erechin. And in Purim, for example, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah on Daf Heyamid Beis, that if you analyze the psukim in Perek Tes of Megillus Esther, start with Pasuk Yud Tes and then go on to Pasuk Chav Beis, you'll see that in Pasuk Yud Tes, Esther is imploring the Chachamim to establish Purim as a Yontif. However, later on, when it says Kibu v'Kibu Aleihem, when they accepted Esther, they didn't call it a Yontif. The inyan of Yontif is completely omitted, and the Gemara is medayik this in Hayom and Beis and Megillah, and the Gemara answers, because even though Esther wanted to establish this day of Purim as a day of Isur Malacha, as a full-fledged Yontif, nevertheless, her request was not accepted, and what was accepted is that the day be a day of Kriya and all the other mitzvahs a day, but not a day of Isur Malacha. In the Gemara's language, Isur Malacha lo kiblu alayu, they never accepted Isur Malacha, and therefore in Purim, you'll never see that Purim is called the Yontif. At the end of the day, l'maskonas hadavar, Purim is not called the Yontif. And yet, nevertheless, we see from Purim, and we saw it from the Gemara in Erechin, that as long as there's no Isur Malacha, then you cannot describe the day as a Yontif. So then, what does the Braisa mean in Chanukah, that they established the day of Chanukah as a Yontif? If there is no Isur Malacha, how can it be a Yontif? So in order to proceed and try to understand and justify the language of the Brisa of my Chanukah and why it says Asom Yontif Al Vodah, we have to begin with a study of the Beis Din of the Chashmonai, and that's going to take a while. And then from there, we're going to have to go and study what it means, Yontif, with regard to Chanukah. So let's begin our study and our focus on the concept and the status of the Beis Din Shel Chashmonai. And in order to really analyze that, we're going to look at a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, asks the question, Lama Nikra Shmam Anshei Knesset HaGedola? Why are these Chachamim, the 71 elders, called Anshei Knesset HaGedola? What was their special contribution, their special role? Hichziru Atara Liyoshna. They returned or replaced the crown as it was back in the old days. What does that mean? When they established the Nusach HaTfilah, Shmoneh Esrei begins with the first bracha, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora. Please emphasize the word, those two words, Gibor and Nora. And it wasn't always Gibor VaNora. The Chachamim of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola replaced Gibor VaNora, those descriptions, those praises of Hashem, that were removed by the Navi Yirmiah. Yirmiah, as you know, witnessed the Churban HaBayis, and in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yudches, he omits Nora. We'll soon see that Daniel, in Perek Tes, also omits, not in this case Nora, but in the case Gibor. And the Gemara describes Yirmiah's response to the Churban HaBayis. He declares, Nachrim Mecharcharin Behechol Ayeno Rosav. You are the Almighty God, the Nora. Where is your Nora? When Nachrim are dancing in the Hechol and they're defiling it, Daniel says, I have to leave out the word Gibor. Nachrim Mishtabdim Bibonav V'ayegvu Rosav. Where is your strength? Where is your might? God cannot be described by Nora, says Yirmiah, as awesome, because Nachrim Mecharkim Veichola. I ain't Nora Osav is the question. And Daniel cannot describe, cannot tolerate the description of God as a Gibor, because Nachrim Mishtabdim Bibonov. I ain't Gvur Osav. The Jewish people are subjugated, they're enslaved by the enemies. And you, God, say nothing? You allow this to go on? Where's your Gvura? Comes along Anshei Knesset HaGedola, V'Omra, and they say just the opposite. Hein hein Gvur Osav, hein hein Nora Osav. Sheroa kol zeh umarech apo v'shosek. If God can witness, and does witness, all this terrible destruction, and yet he says nothing, it means that God expresses his tremendous power, his awesome discipline, his shosek, and his silence indicates his gvura, his norosav. So the Anshei Knesset Gdola deserve their appellation, their description as Gdola, because they reinstituted the words, the praise of Nora, of Gibor Venora. So the Pachad Yitzchak is a little bit bothered by this sugya in Masechta Yuma. He says, L'chora, there's something much more significant that was achieved by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. They played a much more weighty role in Jewish history than just adding two words or replacing two words that were lost from the tefillah, from the praise of Hashem, Gibor Venora. We know that they were in charge of Chasimas Kisvei HaKodesh. They would make the final decision as to what would be the nature of Kisvei HaKodesh, of the books of Tanakh. Which book would close the Tanakh? Chagai Zchari Malachi. This was the authority of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And therefore we would think, according to our understanding, our Hashkafa, that we should attribute more weight and more significance to the power and the authority of Chasimas Kisvei HaKodesh, which was accomplished by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, than adding Gibor Venora. from the fact that Chachamim say that the description of Anshei Knesset HaGedola as such, the godless of Anshei Knesset HaGedola, is attributed to the fact that they were Mechadesh, Gibar Venora, and Chazal skipped over and completely omitted the Chasim of Kisrei HaKodesh, it would seem that according to the Chachamim, in their understanding, in their Ashkaf, in their Shikol HaDas, the adding of Gibar Venora somehow, perhaps even includes within it, the action of Chisum, Kisrei HaKodesh, of closing the Kisrei HaKodesh. It means Yesh B'chal Masayim Mona. The Chisum B'Kisrei HaKodesh somehow a tributary, a subcategory, an extension of Chidush Amiras Gibar Venora. Gibar Venora is the Av, and Chasima Kisrei HaKodesh is the Tov. That's my language, not the Pakat Yitzchak. And therefore, the Toar, the description of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, of their Gdola, of their Gdula, is going to be related to this Matbeah of Tefillah of Gibor Venora that they instituted. And we have to really understand and work hard, why is it that the Matbeah of Tefillah that was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola of Gibor Venora is all-inclusive, it's the greatest thing that they accomplished, and as a subcategory of that, they were Chosen Kisrei HaKodesh. How is the Chesima of Kisrei HaKodesh a subcategory under the umbrella of the Matbeah Tefillah of Gibar Venora? How do we explain this relationship of Makif and Nikaf? And in order to answer this question and unravel the mystery of the Gemara in Yuma regarding the name of Anshei Knesset HaGedola and their Gedula and Gibar Venora, we have to ask another question. And that is a Medrash Rabbah and Shir HaShirim Rabbah interpreting the Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi in Perek Nun Dalet. Rabbim v'nei shomema mi'bnei bi'abiyula. And Chazal say, Tzadikim he'emidoli b'churbana yosem mi'b'binyana. There's an increase of Tzadikim in the wake of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which supersedes the generation of Chasidim and Tzaddikim as a result of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the logical mind wants to understand, this is so paradoxical, it's so counterintuitive, to assume that Dafka, because of the Churban HaBayis gets a certain superiority over the Binyan HaBayis, and why? Because it generates its mamid more Tzaddikim as a result of the Churban HaBayis than as a result of the Binyan HaBayis. That's counterintuitive. In the language of the Pachad Yitzchak, Tistayer Bekirbo, in the Haskalah, in the understanding, intelligence of an Oved Elokim, there will be a sara, like a storm inside of him, when he confronts this phenomenon that there's a superiority of Churban over Binyan, that Churban HaBayis supersedes Binyan in terms of its ability to engender, to create Tzaddikim. What is that all about? So basically, if we summarize, we have three questions. Question number one is why Chanukah is called by the Braisa in Shabbos, my Chanukah, it's called Kovum Yomim Tovim. How does the description of Chanukah as a Yontov make any sense? It's against everything that we know. Number two, why the Sugya in Yuma attributes the greatness of Anshei Knesset HaGedola to their adding Gibar Venora to the Matbeah of Tefillah. Number three, why does the Medrash and Shir HaShirim Rabbah describe Churban HaBayis as superior to the Binyan HaBayis in terms of its ability to generate more Tzaddikim? Those are the three questions that we have. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next Shir, we'll begin to answer some of these questions with a mashal. And the Pachad Yitzchak creates a magnificent mashal to explain the greatness of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, in which the Nevi'im, in this case Yirmiyahu and Daniel, threw in the towel. And they said, we cannot recite these words to describe Hashem as Nora, as Gibor, because of what Hashem witnessed and allowed with silence to happen at the time of the destruction, the blasphemy and the destruction and the